Dear friends, today is a special day when a tremendous manifestation of love and compassion is remembered all over the world, and that manifestation of divinity is what we must think of while reading these beautiful verses today, that God is our indwelling reality. God is our very own. It is not somewhere sitting somewhere far, far away, but the internal guide, the internal our protector, our provider is God. That is what we saw last Friday, that the true provider in this world is God. It is the devotees are therefore those who give up everything, knowing that God alone is real, or thinking that God alone is real. They are, God says, that whatever is needed for them, I provide. Whatever is required for their care of the worldly things, worldly needs, I provide for that. Because they have given all their attention to realization of God. The question arises, what about others? Who provides the others? Why only the devotees? God should not be partial like that, that God should provide for everyone. Why only the devotees? It is, the answer to this is, as given by Shankara, that God really takes care of everyone. It is God who provides actually to everyone. But the devotees understand this, feel this. In our egotism, otherwise we feel that I provide. God may be there in a secondary way, but really I do, I work, I earn, and that takes care of everything. And therefore, the God provides, that idea doesn't strike there, doesn't make sense there. But a devotee knows that in and through, that God takes care of each and everything. There is no limit to God. And therefore, that devotee understands it, devotee knows it, that is the difference. So, in this ninth chapter, we see that everyone really is worshipping God, but unknowingly. People work to please others, to get something from others. That also actually is provided through God only. They do not know it. They are worshipping God, but unknowingly. And also not in the proper methodical way. And that is, that was told in the 23rd verse, that even those devotees of other gods who worship them, endowed with faith, worship me alone, O son of Kunti, though in an unauthorized way, or in an unscientific or unmethodical way. It is, when you do things not in a methodical way, then you don't get the desired results. So therefore, they get what they are seeking from somebody, but they do not realize that it is coming from one ultimate source. And we go to please, say, governor or the president or this person or that person, but actually they are not capable in themselves of giving us anything. It is God alone is capable. So therefore, although we feel that we are getting something from that, like if I ask that Olu, please give me this, and then Olu gives. But if I do not see Olu and only his hand, then I will say that hand is giving. I will not realize that there is a being behind that hand that is giving. So similarly, in the same manner, we receive from many different sources. But whatever we receive is truly from God. And therefore, those who understand this, that they worship the divine, the God alone. And so this is the important idea, worshipping God. Who is our very being, our internal witness of everything, and the reality of the whole world. Instead of that, if we worship this and that bits and pieces, which really have no existence apart from the divine, we are worshipping in an unknowing or in an unmethodical manner, and thus we miss the big results, the real result that we are seeking. It is therefore very important in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Therefore, it is described that all worship should be done as worshipping the true self. It is written there, Atma iti eva upasita. Whatever other deities or other things that you are praying at or praying with, actually that prayer is to be directed towards your true self. The answer really comes from there. Things are really granted from there. And so, Lord says that it is, you know this and worship accordingly. He gives in the next verse, two verses are related to this. People worshipping the secondary things, not knowing the primary source of all that they get from. So what happens there? He, Lord, says, Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha natumam abhijananti tatve natashchamantite. The 24th verse. I am the enjoyer and the Lord also of all sacrifices, but they do not know me in truth, therefore they fall down. It is this knowledge that whatever mouths the food is going, it is going to one being. Whatever things are anyone is getting, the result is really going to one being. This is a great principle, friends. Some time back I had given a lecture here on Sunday, eating through all mouths, that it is who is really the eater. The mouths are many, but everything is going to one source, because the consciousness, the true I, is not different in different bodies. It is the same one being. A great principle. The idea is very profound and is very beautiful. That in different bodies, the bodies are different, but the indwelling self is not different. Just as the indwelling self of my nose, this nose, these eyes, or these hands and the legs, the self is same for all these. Actually, it can be extended to everything in the universe. The idea appears to be rather fantastic, appears to be not real. But friends, think of it. Do not just summarily laugh and discard it. If you try to see where do we differ, you can see easily that the indwelling self is the same. Like you put a stone on any wave in the ocean, you see so many waves. It is the stone goes into the ocean. Whatever wave you may aim at, the stone will go to the same ocean. It is not different at all. So therefore, all these different deities that you are offering, these offerings that, well, O Lord, take this, I offer you this particular thing as a token of my love. O Ganesha, I will offer you this. O Kartika, I will offer you this. O Mother Durga, I will offer you this. The unending. All of these offerings, you can bring not only all the Hindu gods, bring in all the Greek gods and the Roman gods and all of them. All really are different mouths. You are putting it into the same one spot. They are different points of entry, that's all. So, it is, one should realize this so that we will not miss the main principle, that we are not giving it to anyone else. If you do not know this, then what happens? That Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that very verse that I quoted, says further that thus you, if you do not know, then you become slave to that particular entity to whom you are giving. Like if you pray to say governor and governor grants your prayer, you feel automatically indebted to governor. It is, you become in a way slave to that governor, that feeling of indebtedness. Oh, he did this work, he did this work of mine. But really, you were praying to your true self all the time. The answer comes from there. And therefore, you are really not indebted to anyone in this world. You do not get anything unless granted by that supreme indwelling being. You do not get anything. It is therefore, when one knows this, what a great freedom you can feel. It is otherwise, oh, this man did this for me, you feel indebted. This man did that bad turn to me, you feel a sense of that revenge or irritation. But nobody really does anything bad to you except yourself. Nobody does really anything good to you either except yourself. So knowing this, what happens? It is your worships become better directed, better understood, and the result also is then the spiritual elevation, spiritual evolution, that becomes then the result. So, he says that we have different kinds of deities. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrun yanti pitruvrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhya jino pimam. The worshipper of the gods go to the gods. The worshippers of the manor go to the manes. The worshipper of the spirits go to the spirits. And my worshippers too come to me. That those who think of the so many different deities and worship them, they go to those levels. But whether they get desirable things or not depends. Like if I go only to Ulu's hand, that hand doesn't have any power except what is given by the person. It is, I may not get anything just by going to the hand. The hand has to be connected to that, and that connected, that being should be able to give me through the hand. So hand is just an instrument. Those who worship all different deities, devata, demigods, they go to that, those demigods. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Some pray to the ancestors, the different departed beings, pitrun. So they worship them. They go to that. Then there are some who worship the different other beings, like the elements. The word bhut can mean spirits. The words that bhut also can mean the five elements by which the world is made. So they are looking into that and worship them. And some worship the true divine being. So they go to the true divine being. Whatever you worship, you start becoming like that being. It is said that whatever worship is, in the sense, we can see worship is like offering our love to that. So whatever you offer your love to, you get connected with that and thus start slowly becoming like that. You acquire many traits of your beloved, sometimes completely unawares. You do not know that you are acquiring those, but you do acquire many such traits. You in a way come to in that sense to your beloved. So therefore, in so many different ways people connect with different beings, not knowing that the reality of all of them is a Lord who is their indwelling self. So the worship of this indwelling self as God, that is a great principle you will see in all Upanishads. In fact, therefore, the knowledge of the Supreme or the ultimate knowledge is referred to in most practical terms as the Atma Jnana or knowledge of the True Self. That is what is considered as the goal of life. Know thyself. So, because that is where the real divine being can be found. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, therefore, that where can you find God? God is everywhere. But you can find God in the hearts of devotees. Where will the most important place where you can find God? The easiest place that you can discover God is the heart of the devotees. So therefore it is said that you should worship God, the Supreme Being. But you may say it may be very difficult to worship that Supreme Being. It is rather easy to worship the other deities. Lord says, no, it is so simple to worship me. The simplest thing, in fact, is to worship me. How? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachyate tadaham bhakti upritam ashnami prayatatmanah. He who with devotion offers me a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, that devout offering of the pure-minded one, I accept. This verse is very beautiful. The words are really stuffed with tremendous meaning. It is also very poetic in its presentation, and therefore each word has many different meanings which together in a harmonious way present the real content of this message. You have, suppose, nothing much to offer. You may have just a leaf. Fine, offer that leaf. Or if you have a flower, enough. You offer the flower. Then it is water. Some may have just water. And then, but how should it be? It should be full of devotion. Bhaktya prayachyate. That is important. That with your devotion, whatever you offer, whatever you can, in fact, it is whosoever has whatever that person will offer. And that person, therefore, is offering to Lord, worshipping the Lord in the best possible manner if it is being done with devotion. There is a nice story in Krishna's life when he was little, that there was a big, terribly poisonous snake in the river Jamuna, where these children used to play. And that because that of that terrible snake's poison, everything around became, very poisonous. The fish there died. The cows going there to drink water, they died. In fact, the birds and all around, they started dying because of the tremendous poison. And so Krishna decided to go and do something about it, to send this demonic serpent to its own place. Now, so it started dancing. The snake has 1,000 hoofs. So on its 1,000 heads, Krishna started dancing, putting that down. And it started oozing out poison. And then also it started understanding the greatness of Krishna, because Krishna is a reality of that snake also. So it started praying, "Oh Lord, what can I give you? I can offer you only poison because that is what you have given me. I don't have anything else but poison to worship you. So therefore, I am offering only this poison to you. I don't have anything else. And Lord accepts it. Fine. Very good. This thousand-headed snake is the representation of our desires or the passions that we have or ego which gives rise to them. So it has thousand hoods. We can see that, you know, in so many ways it goes on. If you try to put down one desire, another desire rises. It is just another hood that is being raised there. All these different hoods. But then all that terrible snake is to be subdued. And then after it was subdued, it was sent to a different place where it won't be able to poison these waters. The place is where it gets tied with God. Deep inside where it can be tied with God. The idea is that have the desire only for God. That will then not poison your life. Otherwise it becomes a thousand-hooded big snake trying to get everything in the world. We run after everything in the world, poisoning our life by that. So, this is, now this snake has only poison to offer. So Lord takes that poison from the snake and destroys it. So whatever we have, we should offer, but how? With devotion. That devotion to Lord is the criterion. The things that we give, they are like the cups. They are like just the holders. What you put into it is the devotion. What is not really brought out that well in this translation is that tadaham bhakti uparitam, that word, that it is the devout offering, but it is still more intense actually than that, that it is that full of devotion. It is the object is a container that is filled with devotion. And to the extent it has devotion, the Lord accepts it for that devotion given by a pure-minded devotee. So what is essential is to have that purity of mind in giving to Lord. It is, after all, what can you give to God? God has everything. In fact, it is God who has given you. You are just giving a part of it to God as an expression of your devotion. In Bengali, there is a nice saying about it, that worshipping Ganges with the Ganges water. In all worships, it is said that you should use the pure water of the holy river Ganges. Excellent idea. But what will you do now when you are worshipping the river Ganges? Now you use that very water. Now who has given that water to you? That river itself is giving that water to you. And as an offering, you give that very water. You pour that very water back to it. Now what are you really offering there? Are you not offering anything? It makes no sense to just offer that water. It is the water that you are taking from it and offering to it. It is like that, you know, once one family had come here, and then the daughter, about 20 years or so age, and a little more or less, I'm not sure. But it is, she was telling that, well, my dad's birthday, and so, and then dad recollected, well, she had brought a big gift to dad. And dad said, you know, I recall, last year also she has given me this wonderful gift, a birthday present, big birthday present. And later on I saw that my credit card was charged. My credit card was charged for that. It was put on my credit card. So it is. Now that daughter probably has no money, no earnings, but that is an expression of love, that love is being offered. Not the thing. The thing is, after all, taken from dad's money. It is. He is not really buying, but she is doing it from out of love. So that Ganges is being, you know, same water you are taking. But what are you really offering there is your devotion. And that is accepted by God as your worship. What you offer, the container is not that important. Whatever is, you know, like if I give, hey, Anne, would you like a cup of tea? Okay, take this cup of tea. And she sees the cup is so nice but empty. She will say, thank you, Swami. Well, I don't need it. Because there is no tea in it, nothing in the container. And so it won't be accepted. We may think that, well, we are giving this nice thing to God. And have the ego. They say, I am giving it. Well, what God has to do with it? It is God's anyway. It is, you cannot give it to God. It belongs already to God. What can you give to God is only your devotion. That, what do you have that is not already God's? Really nothing. It is still, like Sri Ramakrishna used to tell a beautiful story. That a man had a big orchard, owned a big orchard. And then he had appointed a gardener to take care of it. And occasionally he used to visit his estate, just see. Now, when he went to visit, the gardener welcomed him, please come, see how I have done this, what work. He asked the gardener, hey, what did you do and how did you water? Wow, very nice, these fruits have come out really very well. And then the gardener gives a papaya to this owner. This is very nice papaya. I have, you know, kept it out for you when I saw that it is a very nice one. So I plucked it for you. I kept it reserved for you. Now the master becomes pleased, not because of the papaya. After all, he owns the whole garden. He owns that whole orchard is his. But that very orchard's papaya, that gardener picks it and gives to him. What is the important thing that the owner is appreciating there is the love. So, whatever we offer with love to God, because of that love, God accepts it. There is no other thing that God could be, you could make God interested in. Therefore, in worshipping, it is said, many of those mantras are really beautiful. The fragrance, the incense is offered, or the lamp is offered. Lamp is offered with this mantra which says that you are the light of the whole world, O Lord. To that, you, the light of the world, with the devotion, I am showing this lamp. Please accept this lamp. Now, God, who is the lamp of the whole world, how can you show a little candle to that God? But it is the devotion that is important there, not a thing as such. So whatever thing you have, you offer to God, and let that offering be done with devotion. When it is done with devotion, then Lord accepts it. There is the story that I had told earlier also, but very good to remember it, that Krishna was visiting the house of the devotee, Vidura. He was actually offered to stay in a very palatial place with all attendants and everything around him, a best place to stay in. But he instead goes to his poor devotee, who had really just a hut to live in, nothing much to really survive. But he welcomed Lord Krishna, was so happy. He and his wife really served Krishna. His wife was so much besides herself, so much overjoyed that, "Oh, Lord has come to my home. My home is blessed." Oh, she didn't know what could she do to God. So she started giving, they had some bananas, so she started offering bananas for food to Lord. And in her excitement, she was doing the reverse thing. Instead, she was peeling the banana and throwing the flesh out and offering the skin to Lord, you know. It happens in excitement, things they go reverse. It is, I got one day when I was a high school kid or something, I got the news that in some school exam, I did very well. I was first or something, and I was so excited. I was told by my dad that, well, this is, go and mail this letter, and then hey, this is to be put in the trash there. So what is to be put in the mail, I put it into trash, and what is to be put into trash, I put it in the mailbox. So it is. So in excitement, such things happen. So this devout lady, she was so much besides herself that she was giving the skin to Lord and then putting the banana flesh into a trash. And Lord, what Lord takes, we saw Lord takes the devotion. Whatever is filled with devotion, that Lord is taking. Anybody like that would have scolded that lady. "Hey, fool, have you gone? It seems that you have gone bananas." It is. But because we are interested in things, but Lord, who is interested only in devotion, did not mind eating the peas. Lord ate those skins with great admiration. Why so? Because those skins, that was containing the devotion. It was smeared with devotion. And that is what Lord is after all interested in, is it not? Whatever is offered with devotion, otherwise it is, friends, just empty. It doesn't contain anything. If it is given with that idea that I am giving, you know, it is my thing and I am giving. Lord should thank his stars that he is able to get such nice things from me. Who is the whole world? It is what can you give? The nice prayer that is sung in all the Hindu temples here at the time of the Vespers. Very beautiful idea there. It shows how the things, the mind of the devotee evolves. That the first that devotee says to while doing that sukha sampati ghar aave, that may all the needed things, the righteous, the all the riches, all the happy tidings come in my life. But then as the prayer goes ahead, that person realizes that everything really is God. God is within me. What can I say to God? So the prayer continues that tan man dhan sab kuch hai tera. This body, this mind, and all that I have is after all yours. And what am I doing? I am just offering all that to you. What do I spend of mine? I do not spend a pie of mine in that. It is thine, offered to thyself. So, with that attitude it is offered, and Lord accepts the love of it. The devotion in it, that earnest yearning in it, is only accepted by God. So, bhakti uparitam, it is for that devotion, when offered with that pure attitude, God accepts that. So this is a great training for our mind, that whenever we are offering something, let us offer that with that purity, that it really, does it belong to me? It really does not belong to me. And God has given it to me. I am giving it to God with the that my love, my devotion into, that is what I have put with it. And Lord accepts that devotion. So whatever is accepted, given by devotion, Lord accepts it. It is, therefore, a story is told. There are so many such stories in the life of Krishna. There is no, that kind of debate is misplaced here, whether they are historically true or not. Let those historians bother about it. We are interested in the spiritual content in those. Krishna had many wives. But not all were so devotionally attached. These many wives really represent many different souls who are connected with Lord. So, in their own way. So, once it was decided by them that let them see how much is the weight of Krishna. In India, that is one of the customs, is that kings, when they sometimes give gifts, how much gift will be given, they sit on one side of the scale, and then all the money is poured on the other side till it is balanced. So the king's weight in gold is distributed. So it was decided in one of these worships or sacrifices that was performed when Krishna is king, that let us weigh and then give the whatever is weighed, all that gold to the people around. So Krishna was put into the scale, and then on other side they started pouring all the gold. All the treasure was emptied, but still Krishna's side was still down. So all the queens, they took out all their gold ornaments and all, put that there. Still, the scale was not coming anywhere close to Krishna's weight. What happened? What is Krishna eating these days? It became so heavy. It is... what can be done now? They were at their wit's end. Should this weighing be stopped right here? Well, a very devoted wife of Krishna, her name was Rukmini. So Rukmini said, wait, wait. And she plucked a basil leaf, that is tulsi leaf. It is very, everywhere it grows in India in warm climates. It is plucked by her, and with great devotion, she put that leaf on the other side. And then immediately the things were balanced. That leaf, you know, patra, that you can offer a leaf. What you offer is should be offered with devotion. That is the idea. Then one leaf is enough to weigh Krishna. Otherwise, you may pour all the riches, all the gold. It will not be able to match Krishna's worth or Krishna's weight. So, these stories are illustrative of this, that the devotion is the most important thing that the Lord is going to accept. Other things are just mere cups, containers, from which to take, nothing more than that. So, therefore, Lord says, now, what should you do if you have devotion? If you have devotion, then everything that belongs to you, everything that you are doing, you will offer the result of that to God. Everything is being done for God. I remember in one family, and it is the story of so many families, the children are very important. It is so the welfare of the child is the most important concern of the parents. And so everything that they do is for the good of the child. All day they go earn lot of money. Why? Let my children get good education, or let them have whatever is required by them. They work hard. For what? For my child. All their activities, because of the tremendous love and concern they have for the child, it all gets connected to the child. Now, if the love is really for the Lord, then what will happen there? All actions will mentally get connected to God. Every action. So what Lord says in the next verse, very beautiful verse, and it has the tremendous efficacy of transforming the life by doing nothing special externally. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, or eat, or sacrifice, or give, whatever austerity you perform, that, O son of Kunti, offer unto me. Whatever we do, we may be doing many, many different works, offer each of them to God. It is actually God is doing all those things. So So it is good to offer all that to God. While doing the work, if we can remember it, it is very good. But at least after the work is done, one can remember, "Oh Lord, you got this work done through this instrument. I am offering it to you." That is to be done with every work. Let it be connected to God. Let it be offered to God. It is, it has that, as I told in the beginning, every action then will connect our mind to God. And then what will thereby happen? Unconsciously, it will bring lot of purification of our heart. Everything gets connected with God, gets offered to God. Even when we are eating, let us not feel that I am eating. It is offered to God. It is a sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, that mantra comes, that which we say as grace while taking food. It mentions that awareness of everything being God. In our language, Marathi, we say while taking our meals one very beautiful verse, which says that don't think that when you are eating, don't think that you are filling your belly. Think that you are offering this as a worship. It is a sacrifice. There is the inner fire burning, and in that fire you are pouring the oblation called food. So feel that it is a worship. It is an offering. It is a sacrifice. Even while eating, see how greatly it will purify our eating. It is every action, friends, will thus getting connected with God through this tremendous force of devotion. It will sanctify the whole life. It is this awareness, like if you burn an incense stick here or put a very fragrant flower here, it will permeate the room. So also when this attitude is kept, let me connect everything to God, it will spread that purity throughout our personality. Everything that we do will get fully permeated with God, and we can actually see the tremendous transformation, internal transformation, not just external. It will reflect externally, that is another thing, but it will be a tremendous internal transformation that will come into our lives, friends. It has that tremendous efficacy. So that is, offer everything to God, tad kurushva madarpanam, and every action will then become worship. Whatever we give, let us not feel that, this is mine and I am giving. Let us feel that it is being offered to God. It is in every little thing that juhosi, whatever oblations we are pouring in the sacrifices, do it with that idea that this is offered to God. And then that brings that tremendous change. So, and then you will get release from this bondage of good and evil. That is the next verse. We shall try to discuss it next Friday, friends. Any questions? Yes, Olu?
It's just actually a comment. You were talking earlier about, and throughout the lecture, of all things coming from God and all things given to us by God. today, you know, kind of being the day too, when Jesus was talking to Pilate and he said that he would have no power over me were it not given to you by my Father.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is true. That is the real that spirit of Jesus, that everything is powered by God. Everything happens by the wish of God. And nobody has power. And nobody can do anything bad except through the power of God. And therefore, there is nothing really bad in that sense in the world. It is correct. A devotee looks at it like that, that it is the wish of the God. In gospel, whilst reading Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we read that story a few times, that the weaver, very honest guy, used to sell the cloth he would make in the shop. And then one day, he used to say, well, by the wish of Rama, the yarn had so much cost. By the wish of Rama, the labor cost so much. By the wish of Rama, my profit is so much. And so, I read that, by the wish of Rama, the cost of the cloth is so much. And then one day, a gang of robbers was passing, they had looted something. And they wanted a man to carry the booty. So they held this fellow and compelled him to put it on to carry the load. And while they were taking this fellow, carrying the booty, the police came. The robbers ran. This fellow was caught red-handed with all the booty. So he was arrested and then taken to the judge. The villagers knew him. They said that, well, this man is not a thief. We know him for years. Very honest man. And then they told the judge, the police also said that we know, but let him narrate. This is how what happened. We caught him red-handed. So he narrated everything. By the wish of the God, I was selling this cloth there. By the wish of the God, robbers came. And that is very important, you know, not by the wish of any devil. By the wish of God, robbers came. By the wish of God, I was told by them, I was compelled by them to carry this load. By the wish of the Lord, the police came. By the wish of the Lord, the other robbers escaped. By the wish of Lord, I was arrested. And by the wish of Lord, magistrate or judge, I have been brought before you this morning. The judge released him and he said, by the wish of, not that, oh thank you judge. By the wish of Lord, judge released me. Nothing but everything gets, the power comes from God alone. So this understanding illumines the life of this person. Yeah. Yes.
How does God, the universal soul, access love and devotion without a mind and body?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, it is. Did you hear the question? That how does the universal God accepts anything offered with devotion without a mind and the body? Well, the universal God has universal mind and universal body to accept all that. It is, we have this idea that this is my body. But when that awareness becomes universal, then all bodies become God's bodies. Like Swami Vivekananda that says with that universal awareness, how can I have death if at least one being is breathing? Through the nostrils of that being, I am breathing. It is maybe some particular nostrils will not be functional, but there are so many other nostrils. How can I be hungry when there is at least one being eating, I am eating by that mouth. So Lord's awareness is a universal awareness and therefore has the universal body and universal mind too, which is used to take that offering and also to bless that, to give the proper purification to the devotee. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarahi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvine Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namani Yani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.